Welcome to Wake Up and Live with Antoine Glover, bringing you the good in our community, covering real estate trends, new restaurants and businesses, and people making a difference in Southern Colorado. And now, here is your host and real estate expert, Antoine Glover.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the first episode of Wake Up and Live of 2021. Happy New Year to everybody. Are you ready to make this year your best year yet? Remember, you just because it's a new year, you still need to do the push-ups. Literally, if exercise is your resolution, or figuratively, if you're looking at taking advantage of the opportunities out there for 2021. Hey, and speaking of taking advantage of opportunities, have you refinanced your mortgage yet? If not, it might be the best time to reach out to Bitten Capital. I was just chatting with a friend of mine a few days ago and recently about the real estate market and mortgage rates. Of course, I'm in real estate. My friends want to know, hey, what's going on in the market? And I asked him, what is your interest rate at? And my jaw hit the floor. He said nearly 4%. Rhetorically, I asked, what are you doing, John? Needless to say, I told him to reach out to Bitten Capital, and now he's saving hundreds of dollars a month. Does that sound like something you would like? Does that sound like something that you could use some extra cash in your pocket? Whether you need to refinance to the historic low interest rates, buying a home, or need a construction loan, locally owned Bitten Capital is who I suggest and use personally. Don't let the craziness in the news prevent you from doing nothing. You're either going to look back and say, why didn't I? Or you're going to look back and say, I'm so happy I listened to Antoine and called Bitten Capital today. Call Mike Bitten. Mike Benton's the president of Bitten Capital. He's standing by day or night, weekday or weekends to answer any questions you may have. His number's pretty simple. 719-331-5443. 719-331-5443, or you can simply log on to bittencap.com and just let them know that Antoine from Wake Up and Live sent you. Hey, the three must-dos when selling your house this year. Yeah, I like to keep things simple. You know, I always tell people when they're explaining stuff to me, pretend you're talking to a six-year-old. That's how I get it, right? I want to keep it simple. And so I came up with some really good insight, just three things. If you have been scratching your head over the last 12 months or so, or just recently talking to yourself or your spouse and saying, you know, I think now is probably a good time to get our house ready, to get it ready for sale. And so I came up with some really simple tips for you. Obviously, when you start talking about it, it's exciting to put your house on the market and to think about making new memories in new spaces. Now, however, despite the anticipation of what's to come, we can still have deep sentimental attachments to the home that we're leaving behind. Of course, we all do. You know, you have memories there. You know, growing emotions can help or hinder a sale depending on how we manage them. And when it comes to the bottom line, all my clients / sellers, well, they need to know what it takes to avoid costly mistakes when it's time to make that move, right? You have to be mindful and prepared for the process. What I want to do is help you stay on the right track when selling your house in 2021. I have three simple tips. Get a paper, get a pen, get a piece of paper, and jot these down. These are important things to remember. It's an easy process, right? Number one, price your home right. Make sure it's priced correctly. Obviously, inventory is low, and I get it. It's common to think buyers are going to pay whatever we ask when listing their house. Well, believe it or not, that's not going to always be true. And don't forget that the buyer's bank will send an appraiser out, right? You get the inspection, you have the appraiser. The appraiser is going to determine if the home is at fair market value or not. You know, the bank's not going to lend more than what the house is worth, especially when dealing with an FHA or a VA buyer. So be aware that you might need to renegotiate the price after the appraisal. Now, unless the buyer is offering an appraisal gap. Now, you may have heard this from a time or two. Real simple. An appraisal gap, when there's an offer that's coming your way, that's where the buyer agrees to pay a certain amount between what the home appraised for and the contract price. And of course, you know, I'll be able to help you set up the true market value of your home so you can get the highest amount for your home. And that's what you want. You want the highest amount. You want it sold, obviously, too, in the shortest amount of time. That sounds good, doesn't it? All right, number two. So number one, price your home right. Number two, keep your emotions in check. Today, homeowners are living in their house for, they're living longer in their house longer. Since 1985, the average tenure or the time a homeowner's owned their home has increased from 5 years to 10 years. It's a lot of memories in there. Now, this is several years longer than what we used to be, you know, the historical norm. Now, the side effect, however, is when you stay in one place for that amount of time, it's inevitable you may get even more emotionally attached to your space. And if it's the first home you bought or the house where your children grew up, you know, it's very likely you're going to have something that's very near and dear to your heart in that house. So every room has those memories, right? It's hard to detach from that sentimental value. And for some of my clients, you know, that makes it even harder to negotiate and separate the emotional value of the house from the fair market price. And that's why you need me. That's why you need people like myself to help you with negotiations along the way. All right. So number one, we got what? Price your home right. Number two, keep your emotions in check. And number three, you got to stage your home properly. Now, we generally are quite proud of our decor. I get it. I know it. I don't want to, you know, I sometimes hate saying, you know, maybe we shouldn't have that up there. Maybe we should think about maybe taking this down or adding something to it. You know, I get it. You know, we generally are proud of our own decor that we've customized our own unique home. But not all buyers are going to feel the same way about your design. And that's why it's so important to make sure you stage your house with the buyer in mind. Buyers want to envision themselves in a space so it truly feels like it could be their own. I mean, just put yourself in their shoes, right? When you're growing into a home, do you want to see things that, you know, a whole bunch of a style that is just maybe not yours? And it's kind of hard to envision your stuff in there, right? They need to see themselves inside their furniture and keepsakes, not your pictures and not your decorations. Stage and declutter so that they can visualize their own dreams as they walk down the hall. And in addition to paying for my client's professional photos, which I highly recommend. Hopefully your realtor does that for you. I also go the extra step and I hire professional stagers to come in first to stage for the photos and then for your guests, meaning your buyers. So bottom line, if you have been wondering if now is the best time to get your home ready for the market, wonder no longer. It is. Not only am I your real estate expert, I also have buyers that might be a perfect fit for your home. Just give me a call today after the show, 719-344-0335, 719-344-0335. Hey, you know what? What we're going to do is we're going to hop off, take a little break, and when I come back, I'm going to be talking to a local business owner affected by the recent shutdown, and as of Monday, his doors are open. But the question is, for how long? We'll hear his story when Wake Up and Live continues right after this. Are you overwhelmed by all the mortgage companies wanting your business? How do you know if you even found the right lender? Hey, look no further. You found it with Bitten Capital. Locally owned and operated, the team of experts at Bitten Capital, they understand your real estate needs. If you're looking to buy a home, refinance your current mortgage, money for fix and flips, to even construction loans, Bitten Capital is who I personally use and highly recommend to all my clients, including you. Regardless of mornings, evenings, or even the weekends, you can rest assured Mike Bitten, president of Bitten Capital and my dear friend, will always be there for you. Bitten Capital's goal is to provide you with the lowest interest rate and closing costs possible with serving you with honesty, integrity, and competence before, during, and long after you close on your property. Now, that's a lender I proudly put my name behind. Call Bitten Capital at 719-331-5443, 331-5443, or log on to bittencap.com and make sure you tell them that Antoine Glover from Wake Up and Live sent you. I know it, but it's true. You couldn't even have written a movie any crazier. Today, I have Brendan Del Grosso, owner of Switchback Coffee Roasters in Colorado Springs. He's a father of four darling young girls, 10 to 3. That's a full-time and a half job at least. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that. A husband of nearly 15 years, Colorado Springs native of 20 years. And to add to this gentleman's resume, he's also an associate pastor at Harvest Downtown. And to add to this, Brandon is also on a mission to saving the souls of our local businesses, which no one can deny is the heart and soul of our community. Good morning, Brandon. How the heck are you?
I'm doing okay.
Hey, man, I really appreciate you waking. What's that?
Dreaming and scheming.
Hey, that's my man. I love that optimistic attitude. Hey, you know, I really appreciate you taking time away from your family to sit with me to talk in depth about, you know, who you are and what's been going on and how this has affected you personally as well as your family. But first and foremost, let's start off on a real positive note. You got to be happy to be able to open your doors again.
Yeah, I mean, I was even wrestling through a week ago of whether or not I needed to close one of my locations full time. And it was just the day after, just like God, to be honest, it was just right after that where we got the note that there was 25%. So I decided to keep that other location open for now, and then we'll see how this 25% helps us.
Right. It's kind of like a bittersweet, the contrast of the two when you actually had to shut your doors versus the day that you knew when you can actually legally open the door for the public, right?
Correct. Yeah, I mean, we already cut hours at that location to very limited hours just to make it work, you know, in this season. And so I'm thankful that I still have people part-time that are able to be employed there, but we'll see how long that lasts.
Right. Now, Brandon, now let's just be honest here, right? It's just you and me, okay? You're an associate pastor. I know you probably make, what, a multiple six-figure income salary. You're one of the founders of Switchback Coffee Roasters, which means you probably you're just like the owner of Starbucks. You make millions of dollars, not to mention you're a husband and a father of four daughters. You know, this the shutdown must have been like a long vacation for you, right? Now, obviously, I'm kidding. So when the governor ordered your doors for both your congregation and your business to be shut down, what was going through your mind and what did you do at that point, Brandon?
Yeah, I mean, when the first one happened, you know, just like most entrepreneurs, you're thinking, okay, what can we do to transition? I mean, I even had our online menu and platform for people to do pickup and curbside the weekend before because I knew that was going to happen. You know, one of the other things that we also we're considering is how can we leverage our building. So I owned the building that we're currently in our original location. Is how can we leverage that? Because again, I'm not going to have the money to make this work. And that's the same thing, right? I mean, all of us, I think, are wanting to keep safety in mind. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, recognizing that what does it mean to care for all people? You know, not just the safety of those and the health situation, but the safety of all of my employees, you know, their mental health and those kind of things. And so, yeah, I just was, okay, what does it look like for us to be creative to try to make this happen? The significant difference between the first one is I felt a lot more confidence in it because there was some promise of PPP money. The second time when we locked down, I mean, it was the middle of Thanksgiving week for El Paso County, so that was awesome. I was on vacation. So needless to say, I spent half my vacation talking with my manager to figure out what we're going to do. I mean, we visit our family twice a year. So I was trying to at least get a week off after this whole season. But yeah, that did happen. But yeah, what we did is, you know, thought through what does it look like for us to do it. And then at that time, and still, I don't know if there's any promise of any future PPP money. There's some talk about that. But it's like, okay, well, what does that look like? And going into our slowest season.
Wow.
You know, everybody knows restaurants. I mean, December is usually okay for us because we sell a lot of bagged coffee, being a roastery as well. But January, February, March, you know, like that's our slowest season. And so, shoot, no seating and our slowest season, that's nice.
Right. I would imagine, you know, I'm just putting on a business owner's hat because I am a business owner myself. The money from the government, okay, it's helpful, but it's limited. It is what it is. Being a business owner yourself, you can help generate as much money as you feel comfortable, as possibly as much as you can for your business. That must weigh on your head, on your mind as well.
Yeah, I mean, we opened our second location this year in the middle of the pandemic. So we had signed the contract for that in November, started the build out in January, and I had a whole nother staff that was, you know, I was waiting, and plus, you know, insurance and everything like that, you know, insurance, rent, all that stuff that was going to come up starting in 6 months. So I had to give it its best shot and its best go ahead. So we've opened a new location in the middle of all of this, and trying to develop all the traction and everything like that. And I can tell you that I've lost a lot of money at that location. And I wish I had a bunch of that just sitting around in my pocket.
All that money you make as an associate pastor should take care of everything, right?
That usually helps, yes. I mean, those of us in the restaurant industry, particularly in the coffee industry, our margins are razor thin already. I think best case scenario, most restaurants, as far as profitability, I mean, I think you're looking at 10 to 15%.
Wow.
So I don't think people understand that that's the case. So that's all it takes is to go down to 10%, and then we're not profitable anymore. So if we're down 10%, so if we're down 40%, like most of the people that they're suggesting for these grants, I don't know how those people are still open. And we've struggled through it without extra, you know, grants and other things that have kind of stunted that distance.
Well, you know, just to add to your point, and I really want to stress this to so many people that just maybe sometimes don't stop and think. That's why I call Wake Up and Live. It's time to stop and think. Just put on a business owner's hat for just a second. Not just knowing that if you're going to, you won't have any paycheck for yourself, not knowing that you're going to be able to pay the mortgage on your business and or your home or provide food for your own family. Now try to go to sleep with that. With that, now knowing that Johnny, Susie, Jennifer, Peter, these are some of your valued employees that they are going through, each one of them. And now yours also kind of taking on that, man, what am I going to do to help provide for them so they can provide for their family? It's like yourself times 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 15 different employees, right?
Yeah. I mean, the challenging part, I mean, the beauty for them, I guess, so there's different stresses, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a personal guarantee on every single one of those things. So the weight of it coming back towards my family and, you know, losing my house and everything else, which I don't really have a lot of, I've put in all of my own Roth IRAs, IRAs, everything like that I sold and put into this business. So my whole retirement is this business. And so there's that, right, going to sleep with that. But like you said, I mean, looking at my staff and they're wondering, am I going to have a job next week? And just being really honest with them, I can't guarantee that at this point. Not that I ever could guarantee it, but there's an element of, I don't know what next week's going to look like.
And you so could have put $1,000, you put $1,000 on it. Yeah, you'll be here next week. Now you can't even put a dollar that maybe next week. I mean, and I'm being 100% honest here.
Each payroll, I'm just trusting, you know, in faith that God's going to continue to provide in the way that he has up to this point. And so I'll just keep looking to that. And so far he has, you know, and little tiny things like a few weeks ago, we got a call from the Carter Springs Food Rescue. And they said, hey, we've got a donor that wants us to do soup, to provide soup for people for the holidays. So what are the chances that you guys can make 96 gallons of soup? And I said, well, we've never made soup in that capacity, but the answer is yes. And so it was $3,200 is basically what they did, you know, $8 for a quart of soup, you know, something like that. And that was enough for a payroll. And
wow.
So that was a great way of a small thing to provide. And it was three of the longest days of my life making soup, because all we have is two tiny induction burners, you know, like it took us a long time to make all that, but we did it. And so, yeah, so that was it.
Well, you know, Brandon, you know, you didn't take this line down. I mean, henceforth, that's how I, you know, you and I found each other on Facebook. I saw what you were doing, not just for yourself. And you're such a selfless type of person, not a selfish, but selfless type of person. You may have been kicked in the gut, but you've decided to not, you're not going to go down without a fight. I want you to talk to me a little bit more in our audience, a little bit more. What are you doing to help stop what many people are saying and feeling is basically a tyrannical government?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is information. So trying to just, you know, I rarely post on Facebook, and I know that some of my posts come across as, you know, one-sided or whatever. That's not my heart in it. I'm just trying to post information out there so that people know what's happening, you know, and primarily trying to point out to the serious inconsistencies in all of these policies.
Right.
And that's been really challenging. You know, just this last week, Governor Polis came on with the Modern Eater. I'd encourage you guys to watch that, and if you haven't had a chance to watch that podcast where he comes on there. But the guys asked direct questions because they're restaurant people. They asked direct questions of, like, why? Why are you cutting the restaurants? And, you know, because everybody's stacked in the grocery stores and things like that. And they always spin it, you know. Well, let's worry about the people who died. Yes. Let's do that, but let's also, there's a both and here. It's not either or, you know, and in the same conversation, it's like, okay, well, the problem is if somebody's together with someone else outside their own household for 15 minutes, is that sort of the highest risk, is basically what they've described.
Right.
And so in that, I'm like, well, fine. What about airports? And he's like, airports are fully open. They even have seating at their restaurants in there. And he's like, oh, I didn't know that. You do know that. You're just not admitting to it. And airplanes have continued to work. And I've been on an airplane in the last 9 months. You know, I was sitting shoulder to shoulder.
You know, Brandon, I have to interject and kind of add to you. You're breathing recirculated air. I don't care how big a mask that you have. Put four of them on. You're breathing recirculated air in a tube. Come on, people. Yeah. And what do you mean social distance on a plane out of all places? I mean, here it is. And I just want people to wake up and use freaking common sense to your point. Just like it's not making sense as to shut down the restaurants, but you can have everybody and their mom unlimited go to King Soopers, Costco, right? And go carte blanche as much as you want, when you want, however you want to do it, by hundreds of people an hour. But you have somebody that follows the rules and still a shutdown. I may not agree with it, but I just want, just like what you're saying, it just wasn't consistent, right?
Correct. I mean, that's the thing is, and that's when they brought up the airport thing. Like, tell me a little bit more about that. And he says, well, we've suggested people to not travel, but people have to verify, you know, their own risk factor. And I'm like, then let restaurants do the same thing. Like,
exactly, mom, dad. I just, there's so much here that we can get frustrated about, but I always like to pose a problem and a solution. What can people do? Obviously, to be a patron of your place and other businesses, that's number one. What can people do to make sure officials that are listening, because I know they're listening, at least one of them, what can they do to make their voice heard, to let them know that, hey, this can't go on anymore?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't feel like our local officials have very much authority. I'm sorry to say that, but I mean, there was a letter that was just released, 2 weeks ago, with the mayor, one of the county commissioners, one of the city council, and everybody saying, hey, we need our businesses to open. And Governor Polis just said, I'm sorry, no. And the same thing, I've had dialogue with a few of our county commissioners. A few of them have actually been very receptive to responding to me, so I'm appreciative of that. But have pushed them on things like Garfield County and Laramie County and some of those things that they've done. And they've come back and said, by the way, each one of those businesses lost their licenses anyway. So that's the unfortunate thing, is that the state can still step over El Paso County Health and take my license. They can still step over our local business and take people's liquor licenses. And so it's really a state level is one of the places we really just need to have conversation. And I'm not sure what that means. Because, I mean, I think a lot of folks have been reaching out to every person locally. But, you know, like, it doesn't seem like our local authority has much power. So I really think we need some serious legislation that separates El Paso County in some way from the state to be able to you know, manifest its own destiny, if you will.
Right.
I think that would be one of the things.
You know, I want to just go out there, and the numbers that you've given me, I've called the cell phone numbers of the commissioners and what have you. I'm not dissing anybody. I'm not being insultive. The invitation is out. Okay. I am inviting you to come on the open air to express your side as to why things don't really add up. It doesn't make any sense. It's not going to be a lamb blast type of show. I really just want to ask some serious questions. And I think people like Brandon and myself and so many hundreds of thousands of people that are listening right now are fed up, and they want to know what are you doing locally, and what can we do as a people to make sure that this stuff doesn't happen? Because it's not just shutting businesses down for the safety of everybody. This is ruining lives. This is not a right issue or a left issue. This is an American issue. This is a Coloradan issue that our people on both sides of the aisle are getting absolutely crushed. So my invitation is to any lawmaker from state all the way down to local that would really love to step on the show, and let's have a reasonable, rational conversation. That is my request to you. Because I think it's about time that we get some answers versus being told what to do versus not being or being told not to ask why. And maybe that's why I got in trouble a lot when I was a kid, Brandon. I always asked why. But I think why is probably the most important question ever. And speaking of which, and getting through things, how do you find your strength? How do you find your strength to not give up and continue to fight the good fight, not only for yourself, but geez Louise, you're thinking of yourself as well as your family, your employees, and then you offer more of yourself to help donate soup to the less fortunate out there. How do you find the strength?
Yeah, I mean, I run business because this is what I love to do. You know, like I'm a people person. We could have closed our doors. Actually, Minnie and Specialty Coffee closed their doors and laid off all of their folks right away. That's probably the norm that I've seen in my industry. But I love employing people. I love the relational aspect of that, of being able to ultimately provide for folks, right, and provide an incredible thing for a community. And so I keep getting up because we're the neighborhood shop. We're plugged. Both of our shops are right in the middle of neighborhoods. And so we're that community watering hole where people can come and get to know one another, meet one another, see people that are across the aisle and actually maybe have that conversation, which is what we're not doing right now. And so because I feel like that's my call, is to be a catalyst for those things, then that's going to cause me to get up every single day. That's one of the primary things. You know, that I see the largest transfer of wealth that's ever happened from small business to large companies. You know, that we see 40% of people are struggling with mental health and substance abuse right now, according to the CDC, that 1 in 4 people from 18 to 24 have considered harming themselves. Those are all people that work in my industry.
Right.
And so that's where most of 18 and 24 year olds work, is in restaurants. And Then we've got to be a catalyst for something different. And then of course I'd be remiss to say that this is not a part of my faith, right? What it looks like to walk at, Jesus refreshes me every single day. And I have to go to him, especially in times of incredible discouragement. And that's where the church body has been great. Like the first month that this thing hit, I knew I wasn't going to be able to pay myself, which my salary is very small. I'd be glad to even say what that is on there if you want. But I mean, I need it. I need a few thousand dollars, you know, so to support all of my family. My wife stays at home with my kids. And so so as we were doing that, and I had one person that's just a great friend in the body. He's not attending our church right now. They're kind of, I guess I could call them vagabonds, bouncing between churches because they're loving on some friends right now. And they said, hey, we've decided that our whole tithe this month is to you. And they gave us an individual tithe to make sure that I didn't have to take any salary from Switchback.
So there is Brandon, to really sum this up, and I hate to cut you off there, but you need to find the support. You got to wake up, my friends. There's a trickle effect as to this. It's not as just simple as shutting it down and then everybody's safe. Welcome to life. Life is not about being 100% safe, but we can take precautions. Shutting things down is not going to be the answer. Hey, I really appreciate you taking your time to talk with me. And finally, restaurants are open, kinda. The uphill battle continues. Don't accept your rights being violated as the new norm. This is only the beginning. I promise you that. I want to thank you for joining me for another episode of Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Antoine Glover. We're going to see you in 7 days.
You've been listening to Wake Up and Live with Antoine Glover, your Colorado real estate expert. Wake Up and Live, bringing us the good in and around Southern Colorado. Wake Up and Live airs Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.